Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
And now, prepare yourself for the only talk radio show you'll want to turn up.
Crank this thing.
Sirius XM Pandora presents the place where your hard rock and metal voice can still be heard.
You bet your ass, baby.
Unfiltered, uncensored, say whatever you want.
Hit the record button. Anything can happen, you know?
I know that ain't nobody out there came to be mellow tonight, now did you? I say there ain't nobody. I'll say there ain't nobody not out there that even wants to be a little bit mellow. Now is there? Anybody wants to get mellow, you can turn around and get the fuck out of here, all right?
This is the Trunk Nation Podcast with host A. Trunk.
What's up, everybody? It's Eddie Trunk, and welcome to another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast. New every Thursday, anywhere you get your podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening and checking out the show. Much appreciated. Find out everything going on in my world and connect with Trunk Nation and hear the full radio show and get all information about the full radio show. All you got to do is go to SiriusXM.com/Trunk Nation. Find everything there. All full shows, interviews, and a whole lot more. Again, that's SiriusXM.com/Trunk Nation. On my social media, be sure to follow me at Eddie Trunk, X, Instagram, Facebook page. EddieTrunk.com is the website. Next appearance for me, this coming Friday, I'll be in Wichita, Kansas at the Cotillion, where I'll be hosting Tom Kiefer and LA Guns. Same bill on Saturday of this week, Diamond Ballroom, Oklahoma City. If you're in those areas, I will be hosting both shows. Hope to see you with Tom Kiefer and LA Guns this weekend in OKC or in Wichita. Keep an eye on my social media for info and updates on all fronts. And as I tell you every time, if you listen to this podcast and you're in the U.S. and Canada, and this is the only thing you listen to, well, you're only getting a tiny fraction of what I do each and every day on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 Eastern, Faction Talk Channel 103 on SiriusXM, or anytime on the SiriusXM app. Be sure to listen to the radio show and come on board and join us if you're not doing so already for the daily radio show and hear the full program. Again, SiriusXM.com/Trunk Nation for more. As promised, we are going to continue bringing you broadcasts from the recent Monsters of Rock cruise. I broadcast from the ship every day for 3 days straight. Each week, we're bringing you some highlights of those broadcasts, varied guests on board the ship. This week, broadcast day two from the Monsters of Rock cruise. The guests you are about to hear include Wolf Hoffman and Mark Tornillo of Accept, Steve Harris of Iron Maiden, and also joining us will be Tommy Scio, formerly of Tesla, Mike Fitz of the band Bad Marriage, which Tommy Scio is now in, Chips Enough, my That Metal Show partner Don Jameson, giving you a little mixed bag of some of the stuff we did live from the Monsters of Rock cruise. Again, if you were on board with us at SiriusXM, you heard all this stuff live as it happened and in its entirety, giving you a little sample here on the podcast. So this week, as promised, day two of three broadcast days from the ship. Yep, I do a live radio show right from the cruise, and it was so much fun to do. Happy to bring you some of the highlights of it here on the Eddie Trunk podcast. So let's get started. We'll roll through it. You'll figure out who's who as we go. And thanks for listening. Enjoy a visit on board the 2024 Monsters of Rock cruise, broadcast day two on the Eddie Trunk podcast. Joining me now is from Accept, Wolf Hoffman. Good to see you, Wolf.
How are you?
Excellent.
Good to be here.
And Mr. Mark Tornillo, the band's lead singer. Mark.
What's up?
Good to see you, bud. This band turned in two remarkable performances on the ship. Have you played cruises before, Wolf? And Mark, do you enjoy them, and have you played them before?
Yes. Well, this is number two, right?
Yeah, we did the 70,000 tons cruise, and
in 2019.
Okay.
It was, right?
Maybe it earlier, but I can't remember.
All right. Well,
but
regardless.
We've been here before. Actually, the same ship, only different name.
It was this ship.
Oh, really? Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So do you enjoy it? Do you like playing on cruises?
I do.
Mark is a huge fan of it, right?
I'm having a damn good time.
What's not to be a fan of?
Really?
Right. You get,
I'm in my element here,
Exactly. What about you, Wolf? Do you enjoy it, or you'd rather be on land?
No, it's fun, It's cool. I like it.
Yeah. This new album coming from Accept, Humanoid, I've had a chance to hear.
I got a chance
to premiere the song last week, which I thank you for.
Thank you.
It is another amazing record from this, what I look at is really like the second era of Accept, with Mark coming on board with Blood of the Nations.
Yeah.
And Mark and I were talking about this earlier today. It would have been so easy, Wolf, to bring in a new singer, and with the catalog Accept has, to have just worked off of that and done the nostalgia bit. But you've done anything but. Humanoid is what number album with you, Mark?
Number six.
Your sixth album with Mark on vocals. So obviously the idea of making, not only honoring the past, but making new music, that was the plan from the get-go when you decided to continue with a new singer?
It was. When we found Mark and we made the decision to reform the band, we said, if we're going to do this, we might as well do it properly, making new records. It didn't feel good to us to just sort of say, hey, we can play just the old catalog over and over again. We could have, but we decided, no, this is not, what's the fun in that? We made great albums back then, and why shouldn't we do it now? So that was definitely an early decision, right?
Yep.
By all means, I told you right from the get-go.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I would have even wanted to do it otherwise.
I was going to ask you, because you going into the band, Mark, I imagine that was important for you too, because you want to put your own signature on it and have your own catalog as well, right?
Yes, without a doubt. So.
And now we have so many new songs and so many great songs, and people love them, that we actually have a bit of a dilemma, like putting together the set lists of. At some point we could start playing just new stuff, but
we could. We could definitely do that. We have enough material, without a doubt. But it's not fair to the people that want to hear the old stuff, unless you advertised it that way or something,
Right. Kind of like what Iron Maiden does. If they're going to go out and play a whole new album, they tell you in advance you'd have to kind of do that. But I agree. I think the way you guys break it up, it's a pretty good balance right now. And the two, you're already done playing, so you guys are off now.
We're on vacation mode now.
For a couple of days. But I saw most of both performances, and you changed the set list. When you play as a headline, you usually do a couple hours anyway.
Yeah.
So basically here you did 2 one-hour sets. You basically combined, you made a headline set out of the two performances pretty much.
That's right. There's a certain amount of songs we play every night, like Princes of the Dawn and Balls to the Wall, because those are just staples that people want to hear.
Yeah.
But other than that, we try to mix it up and bring in new stuff as much as we can.
Mark, I was saying to you earlier today, when I think of the first record you made with this band, which is Blood of the Nations, I honestly view that as a modern metal classic. I really do at this point. It's been 15 years, but which amazes me that it's 15 years.
Right.
Because it seems like yesterday you came to my house. You told me you were joining Accept, and I'm like, what?
I was kind of the same way, man.
Which is a funny story in and of itself. I told that before. For people that don't know, I go way, way, way back with Mark, being a Jersey guy, and from Mark's, and I'll never forget because Mark. For people that don't know Mark, you're pretty much kind of done with even chasing this whole thing, weren't you?
As far as
you were playing in some club bands around Jersey, but the idea of being in a global touring band and fronting that, it pretty much was something you were kind of, done with mentally, right? You weren't chasing it.
Yeah, I wasn't at all.
Funny enough, we were too.
Yeah,
exactly. we wouldn't have done this with anybody else. It was just because we met Mark, we decided to relaunch the band and do everything that so it's a whole new chapter that it was only created or that only started because we met each other, otherwise.
So, Wolf, you honestly think you would have been, if you didn't find Mark and a singer of his caliber to continue doing this, that you would have ended Accept? It wouldn't be happening still?
except was basically at a hiatus. We hadn't performed in years and years, and we hadn't made any records in years, and only when we met Mark, we made the decision we'd start the band again, and we'd try this thing. We weren't shopping for singers. We weren't looking around. We had no idea that we're going to do all this. It was just because we met Mark, and it was such a perfect fit that we decided to go for it and give it all we've got.
When did you know it was perfect? Did you know from the first rehearsal?
2 minutes in.
Yeah. What was the first song you did, Mark?
Flash Rockin' Man. Yeah, played Fast.
We did Restless. We did Balls. We did a bunch of stuff that day.
Yeah. But you know, with auditions, it's always the same thing. You always think you need 3 hours to find... Man, you know within 2 minutes whether it's the good fit or not.
And Mark, you were telling me that, and I had forgotten about this, that initially, before you even joined the band, there were some clips or something that came out of you singing in the rehearsal. And there were already a lot of naysayers saying, this isn't going to work,
right?
Oh, God,
they slaughtered us.
Dude, they were... God damn. I was getting hate mail. It's like, oh, you can't ruin that band. This guy can't sing. It's like, oh, my God.
Because we did the slight mistake, we thought naively people would love it. Because we thought, we know what raw footage from the rehearsal room sounds like, and we just released it and said, hey, this is great, we found a new singer. And everybody compared it to the polished record that took, you know, months to create and God knows how many edits. So.
Well, we were naive about that, too, because it just should have never happened, but. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Well, it was the early days of the internet, basically.
It was.
We thought people were a little more forgiving.
No, they aren't.
But they aren't. Exactly. No. Forgiving? What? Are you kidding me?
Haters go to hate.
Exactly right. Did you know, like, there's one thing to find a singer, which you found in Mark, and you knew that immediately. But then there's another factor of it where you've got to have chemistry as human beings and chemistry as writers.
Yeah.
So there's one thing to have him come in and sing Balls to the Wall or something, but then there's another thing like, okay, we want to create new music going forward.
Right.
How's this going to work? Because that's almost as important. So when did you know that the writing and the chemistry was going to work?
Well, during the making of Blood of the Nations.
Yeah.
I guess it took a little while to get adjusted to each other's taste and flavors and tempers and whatnot. But
it also took getting Andy in there with us.
He found us. That it was sort of another part of that whole miracle time that all of a sudden there was Andy Sneap wanting to produce us and he was all fired up. He was all fired up about it and the three of us really... Yeah, we're a perfect match.
What has been, for you guys, the highlight of this era of the band, if you will? Like, in other words, from Mark's period, Blood of the Nations forward, is there a show, Mark, I'll start with you, a show, a performance, maybe even like, and Mark, I know you're as big of a fan of all this stuff as I am too, like an opportunity where you got to hang out or meet with somebody or party with somebody, a festival or show, and you're like, oh my God, I'm a guy from New Jersey. How am I in this spot? Have you had some of those pinch me moments?
I've met so many people over the last 10 years that I never thought I would meet, you know, or 15 years. It's just stupid. But I think the highlight for me was when we headlined Wacken with the Symphony Orchestra.
That was outstanding.
That was a pinch me moment. It was oh my God.
Do you remember that when the sun went down and oh my God, that was
it was crazy.
It's crazy. We have those golden moments on stage and that was one of them where you go like, is this real? This is fucking beautiful, you know.
Because
we all live for those moments. And sometimes you sit on airplanes for 12 hours and you suffer through days and weeks of rehearsals and do all that kind of crazy organization stuff. And then these few moments on stage, you go like, fuck yeah, this is worth it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's in Germany for people that don't know Wacken.
Yeah,
so
it's the oldest and biggest metal festival in the world. And we played there with the big symphony orchestra. And it was fantastic.
That's the live Symphonic Terror album from that performance.
Right. Would you say for you, Wolf, in Mark's era of the band, same thing, that performance?
I mean, there was more other moments, of course, but that was one that always sticks out to me as well. We had a few. Do you remember the AC/DC shows we did?
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of cool as hell as well.
The first run in 2010. We did two open airs with AC/DC on the Black Ice Tour.
That was fun. It was amazing.
That was stupid.
That was the time, Mark, when you were still working as a union electrician.
Oh, yes.
Right? So Mark told me that story. He's like, I just came from France opening for AC/DC, and now I'm back putting in air conditioning. But you're done with that, right, Mark? You finally got...
I finally retired.
You retired?
Last year.
Yeah.
Wow. Full-time rock stars now.
Yeah, exactly, man. It only took Mark like 65 years, but he finally got to just be a rock star.
Listen,
a rock star.
I quit my day job one time. I wasn't going to do it twice. Exactly. Didn't work out so well the first time. So,
tell me about Humanoid. Tell me about putting this one together. Wolf, what were you going for? It sounds like classic, except to me. I've had a chance to hear a few other tracks besides the single, which is out now. But tell me about putting this record together.
I'd say it went really smooth again. I mean, again, Andy Sneap was on board, and we have the basic sort of procedure as every year or every album. We make some demos, we play them to Andy. He picks out the stuff that he thinks is most accept worthy, and then we just sort of sit there and chip away at it. And we don't really ever have a concept for an album. We just sit there and write enough songs until we have an album full of material, and then we go through the list and say, what should we call this baby? And Humanoid stuck out because it's a very current topic that everybody talks about, you know, artificial intelligence and all that. But other than that, we never really try to flavor an album and say, hey, we got to go more a little left, more right, or what. I don't think you can even do that. At least we can't. It's not a concept album, and it's just number six in a row of an ongoing collaboration.
In a good run.
Yeah.
You know?
Really good run.
It's not supposed to be different. It's just supposed to be better,
right?
Every album. Whether we succeed or not is up to you guys, you know.
Yeah. Mark, how do you feel about the record?
I like it. I like a lot of it. And there's some really good songs on here. I feel real good about it.
Yeah.
And we're on a new label now as well. So we'll see how it all...
Yeah,
plays
we signed
out.
Up with Napalm Records for this album. Yeah.
Okay. And as far as the live band is concerned, I just got done watching you guys, of course, the last two nights, and packed houses, and the triple guitar assault that you have up there, which I introduced you guys last night. I called it the metal avalanche that is Accept, because that's what it feels like, man. It is just so powerful. Who's in the lineup now? Give us the rest of the lineup, Wolf.
Okay, well, Christopher Williams on drums since, I don't know, he's
2015 he's joined the band. So
yeah, it's almost 10 years for him.
After Blind Rage.
That's right. We've got Uwe Lullis on guitar, the only remaining true German. He still lives in Germany. All of us are scattered all over the world. And the third guitar player for this show was Phil Schaus.
Right.
And then we have Martin Motnick on the bass. And, you know, Phil, we have a little... I have to sort of explain that. On the album cover, Phil is not in the picture because he came to us after the last South American tour last year and said, hey, guys, I can't be with you full-time anymore, and I want to leave the band. And we basically said, we don't want you to leave. You have to stay, and so how can we do this? So we came up with this position for him that he is a permanent special guest. He's going to be with us when he can, but he's, you know, otherwise... somebody else will fill that spot, but because we like that triple guitar formation,
it really works well.
Yeah, for the summer shows that we have coming up, and for South
American.
Well,
you got Joel Hoekstra is going out.
Exactly. I was going to say, so Joel Hoekstra is going to take his place, Phil's
in South America and the European festivals this summer.
So,
how did you decide on Joel?
He was introduced to me through my friend Michael Cardelloni,
who's
a drummer from Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Sure,
he used to be in Accept years ago. For one
Michael
album.
Was?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he drummed one, you know, in the 90s.
I had no idea. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's how I know. He
played on the Predator album, right?
No. Was it Predator or was it Death Row? Yeah, Predator. It was Predator.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're old buddies, and we call each other, and I told him about our Phil dilemma, and he said, man, I might just have the guy for you. So that's how it came about.
Yeah, no, Joel's a very talented player. He's played
and he's
with a
on
lot
the
of
ship here. So.
He's on the ship, but I haven't seen him at all.
No, he keeps hiding. I can't find the guy.
Well, I was told that he's hiding in his cabin learning Accept songs.
Yes, he is, as a matter of fact. He is.
He filmed the show the first night sitting right in front. So.
Yeah, no, I honestly, somebody just told me that. He goes, oh, he's just like crashing into Accept songs and learning. and how does he know which part to learn? Because most of the Accept albums were made with two guitars, right?
Well, every album is made with multiple guitar tracks anyhow.
Right, but how does each guitar player know of the having two other players besides yourself?
They don't. We just sit together and discuss it. Nobody just knows this stuff.
Did you always want to have three guitar players in the band? Was that like
no.
always?
That was a coincidence because we, like that 2019 show that we did at Wacken, we did a whole, I mean, we did
well, we did an orchestra tour.
Right.
In 2019, was it? It was 2018.
Right.
And Phil was the guitar player on the orchestra tour.
Oh, okay.
So Uwe wasn't available.
Okay.
So he did that, and then after the tour was over, we were all like going, well, this is going to suck now. You know, I don't want to lose Phil. So we asked him to join a band. You know, what would you think about being...
Nobody was quite sure how it would sound with three guitars, but I think it's fantastic.
It is.
We
you
love
can
it.
Do anything. That's the best part.
It's so, and you guys all have, like with, for people that don't know Phil Shouse, he's played with a bunch of different people, but Phil is very, very active on stage. So, and I noticed in watching him play with you guys for the first time the other day, he has got the accept moves down.
Oh, yeah.
He's got you guys like right out there with pointing the neck out at the same time. And
yeah,
all that.
That's what we do, man.
All the classic accept stuff and the backing vocals and everything. It's so killer. So, yes, he's a great fit and a lot of energy, and hearing those three guitars is killer. The band sounds just unbelievable.
So Joel's probably in his cabin practicing the moves.
Exactly.
There you go.
He's got to practice the moves in addition to the playing.
Front
so.
Of the mirror there with a, you know.
So Humanoid, the single and video out now. The full album is coming in April, correct?
28th?
Yeah, 26th, 28th, something like that.
Something like that.
And Mark, you were saying another single and video coming soon, right?
Yeah, The Reckoning will be, what, in another few weeks or so?
And in 4 weeks, I believe. End of March. Where are we now? Yeah.
Yeah. So.
End of March.
And I imagine most of the year
video for that
on the
well.
Road.
Most of the year, we're going to South America for 2-3 weeks. Then we're going to do a summer festival run of like 3 months in Europe, and then a fall tour all over Europe. And then hopefully before long, there's also the American tour is in the works. So hopefully that'll happen also this year, or latest early next year.
Good stuff. Are you still doing photos?
No.
I was going to say, Mark got out of doing electrician work, and you got out of your day job shooting photos.
I had to a long time ago. I tried to keep his going for a few years when we reformed, but no, I don't have the time for it anymore.
For people that don't know, Wolf was an accomplished photographer doing commercial photography. Do you miss doing it?
No.
No.
Well...
You'd rather just strap on the flying V and rock.
Absolutely.
It was
more, for me, it was more the other way around. When the band sort of wasn't working and we were broken up and we didn't exist for a few years, photography was my go-to number two or creative, you know, passion.
Outlet, yeah.
Outlet, whatever you want to call it. And then when that started to happen again, I eventually said, well, I'd much rather do that.
How about another classical record? Would you like to do that?
I would.
Yeah? You planning on that?
Nothing is in the works right now, but, you know, slowly something is developing in the background. Yeah.
And the last thing that just hit me, last night you did a song called The Riff Orgy, which was basically a compilation and a medley of a bunch of classic songs and riffs because, again, you had an hour and you got all these great songs and things people want to hear, so... Was that something that you've done in the past, or did you put that together mainly for this?
It's a recent thing. We've done it before last year in Europe.
It started in the festivals in 22.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, we want to play all these songs, but if you play them all to the end, then there's just not enough time. So a little, you know...
Little snippets here, you know?
Yeah. That seemed to be a good thing to do it.
And
people seem
well.
To love it, yeah. Because it's just a minute and a half for each song, just enough to hear the riffs and get into it, remember the chorus, and then on to the next, and, you know, you get through the... And we call it the riff orgy because it's all the fun guitar riffs.
Last thing I want to ask you, and I'll leave you with this. Speaking of riffs, you have written some insanely amazing riffs in the history of Accept. Balls to the Wall comes to mind immediately for so many people as one of the great metal riffs ever. Still sonically sounds amazing. You know how many bands seem to tune their PAs when they play the Balls to the Wall? Like, I mean, in so many bands, they're doing like sound checks or just getting their PA
really?
Up and they crank Balls to the Wall. It sounds just insanely great still. But my question to you is, Do you have, out besides Balls to the Wall, I don't even know if that would be in your personal top five or whatever, but do you have a favorite riff, like for you, Wolf Hoffman, that you've written that's one of your favorites?
That's a good question.
Quite honestly, there's so many of them.
I know, that's why I'm asking you.
And to me, oddly enough, I mean, even when we do, I was talking about this, the songwriting process, the riffs, that's the easiest part. I've got riffs, hundreds, thousands maybe, I don't know. And it's really easy to do, but to come from a riff to a perfect song is a long way. So a guitar riff is just a little building block, but they've always been, they come to me rather easily.
You know, so, one that comes to mind that I always loved was Turn Me On. I love the riff in that song. That's such a cool, different riff. I just love that one. Metal Heart is, I mean, one of the all-time greats, of course. Mark, as a fan of Accept, do you have a favorite?
Ooh, that's a good question, man. Well, as a fan, it's Fast as a Shark.
Well, yeah.
Come on.
Well, that's almost beyond a riff.
That's not even a riff. Well, I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
That's the roots of thrash metal.
I remember the first time I heard that song at L'Amour.
And DJ
played it.
Always.
And we were playing that night, and I'm going, and they started with the high D, high do, and I'm going, what the hell is this? And then blew my mind.
Yeah. Well, that was always at the legendary old rock club, L'Amour's, man. That was always the thing. They would play Fast as a Shark almost all the time just before the main band went on. And it just,
really?
Yeah, blasting it out of the PA. It was so great.
I was just talking about that. We had no idea. I mean, back there in Germany that you guys were in.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't long around that time that I saw you guys open for Kiss early on.
Yeah,
I remember
in 84,
doing those shows.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I mean, yeah. But speaking of that, it just hit me. Whose idea was it to put that recording in front of Fast as a Shark? That was your idea?
Yeah.
And what is that song, actually? Is that...
we were just talking about that.
Just talking about it. It's actually a recording. Dieter Dierks, a producer.
Right.
His mother had a bunch of collections of children's songs. And we wanted to put a little song snippet in front of the song Fast as a Shark that was as different as it possibly can be and sort of fool the audience into thinking they bought the wrong record. And this little piece of music is Dieter Dierks as singing in a children's choir, that German folk song, Ein Heller und ein Batzen. And we just, you know, thought it was hilarious.
So that's actually Dieter singing it?
Yeah.
When he was a kid.
Oh, so the recording had existed from him?
Yes,
it was his mother.
It was in his mother's collection.
Oh, wow. Does his mom get royalties on that?
We just stole it.
Oh, man, that is, because it's so classic. And everybody sings it. You know, people play it over the radio.
And we picked that little spot because it doesn't have any lyrics in it. All the other stuff was like, and hello, and butts, and again, some Brunnen or whatever. You know, it was all this German stuff that nobody would understand, and we just thought that was international.
So that part of In Fast as a Shark, is that the beginning of the song? Is that how the actual song itself starts?
No,
it's in the middle of the song?
It's in the middle of the song.
You should play the whole song as your intro piece when you come out.
Jeez.
How long is the song? Like 3 minutes?
Probably.
Yeah, just through the goof, because then people would hear that part. They'd be like, oh, we know this.
You know, Mama Dierks passed away long ago, so I don't know how to even find that song now.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's called Ein Heller und ein Batzen.
That's the name of it.
Yeah.
Joel, cue up a little, if you haven't already.
We need to Google that now. Okay.
Cue up a little Fast as a Shark from the top. And so everybody, and most people know this, but we already gave you a sample of Humanoid, the brand new track, as we started the interview. But as we wrap up with Wolf and Mark, what's the name of the song again, Wolf? How do you say it?
Ein Heller und ein Batzen.
I'm not even going to try to say that.
Me neither.
Even though I'm half German, I don't think I could pull that off. So we're going to hear a little bit of what Wolf just said. That's a preview to Fast as a Shark. And then, of course, new album coming, which, as we mentioned, Humanoid, tour dates, a lot of stuff going on. Keep an eye on the band's social media website, all that, for all your info and updates. Great to see you guys, as always. Keep kicking ass, man. The band sounds as great as ever.
Thanks for having us, bro. The album's killer.
Get ready for that album coming out in April again. Humanoid, new music from Accept. And I want you to introduce it. So say, this is Wolf Hoffman, and enjoy just a little bit of, and say the name of the song.
Hello, hier ist Wolf Hoffmann. I'm going to do it in German.
Do it in German, yeah.
Yeah. Hallo, Wolf Hoffmann hier. Und hier ist unser Song Fast as a Shark mit dem Intro Ein Heller und ein Batzen.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
All right, well, the hits just keep coming here. Packed schedule, Steve Harris of Iron Maiden coming up in a bit. Just saying that is crazy, even though I've been doing this forever. Just saying Steve Harris is coming to do my show in a bit. It's just insane.
That's awesome.
He was in the pub last night having a proper pint.
Nice.
It's almost as exciting as saying Don Jameson has just sat down with me.
Almost.
Almost as exciting. But Donnie Boy came by. He's on the ship, of course, as one of the hosts as well. And joining us now, as far as bands are concerned, from Armored Saint, we have John Bush and Joey Vera. Good to see you guys.
Thank you. Nice to see you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
How's your cruise going so far?
It's going great. We had our first show like at 6 o'clock the first day, and it was great. It was awesome.
Always a little hectic first day. Everybody getting settled, right?
It was a little bit, tense for a bit, especially trying to
get the gremlins out.
Yeah, and then now we don't play again until tomorrow. So we have a lot of time in between, which is kind of not so good for my liver.
I was just going to say, that can be a bad thing. Like, most people love if they can get their shows taken care of, like, one day, 2 days, and then the next few days off, and then you just exhale.
Yep.
But you got to pace yourself then.
Yep.
You got to.
Sucks.
It's been a challenge. You know, all the food and the booze and the lack of sleep and, yeah.
But I might go to the gym right after this, you know. I did swim.
Might.
We
Keyword
swam in.
Might.
No, no, I really, that's my intention.
Because I keep saying that. Yeah, I'm going to get there, too. And then I end up hitting the buffet, and I'm like, I got to lay down before I start the day.
Right, right.
And then you have this mess you see before you. So, yeah, that's what happens.
It's a nice gym. It's beautiful. I got to take
it is.
At least for a half an hour or so.
It is. Hey, everybody, I didn't get it because so many, for people who have not been on this cruise before, There's literally over 50 bands. A lot of things do overlap.
Yeah.
Thankfully, everybody plays at least twice, so you have one. If you miss one, you get to see another. But you guys, I did not make your first show. I plan to make the second. But everybody I talked to seriously was raving about how great the band sounded. And in particular, you, Mr. Bush, who seemed to be also blessed with the ageless voice that doesn't lose a thing. I mean, it's crazy. Everybody's just like, get out of here, John, singing still, man. We've seen a lot of that on this ship. Dave Menichetti singing amazingly in his early
70s.
Glenn Hughes.
Next level ridiculous.
Totally.
Like some of these guys out there that are still doing it so well. But, John, you got to feel good hearing that from so many people still, man.
That's very nice, and thank you for everybody who said that. You know, we work real hard. We prepped and as a matter of fact, Armored Saint rehearsed 8 days before this, which is ridiculous. We haven't done that since like 1984.
Oh, wow.
Seriously. So, I mean, it was a lot of prep that went into it, and as well as me before that. And so, you know, you want to come out and be great. You know, that's the objective. Plus, you know, it's a very friendly vibe out here competitively, but it is still a competitive thing. And you want to kick ass, and you want to do as well as the other bands and be inspired by them, but also like, oh, all right, got to top them, you know?
I believe that. Yeah. I mean, I think everybody goes into these things, obviously, with the everyone is a great camaraderie, no doubt. But I think anybody would be lying if they said that being around so many other great bands doesn't push you a little bit. I even picked up on it. You know, last December, I did this big party in Vegas for my 40 years in radio. And that day, a lot of different bands came out and a lot of different people played throughout the 3 hours. And I was backstage and I heard like one artist would say like, man I got to top this, you know. Oh, this guy just went out and killed. Yeah. I got to, you know, raise the game a little bit. So that's, you know, it's a thing. It's natural, right, Joey?
Yeah.
I mean, you just want to push yourself a little more.
Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, we just saw Glenn Hughes last night and, you know, sometimes I complain about getting out of bed in the morning, right? But then I'm watching Glenn, and I'm like, oh, I have nothing to complain about. Like, that, he rose me up, like, in that moment. So, yeah, that happens all the time, for sure.
Well, Joey's got, he's got Glenn to contend with and Steve Harris, yeah, who's your guest coming up next. So exactly. It's high stakes, and all the guitar players with Joe Satriani on board are freaking out. I hope he doesn't come to my show, you know, because
exactly.
That's a high bar to set.
I can't really believe that Steve Harris is on this boat, actually. I can't really
He was in the pub last night.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I think this is like his third, at least his third Monsters of Rock cruise, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
And he loves it, and he gets out there. Like, he doesn't hide. You'd think a guy like that would hide.
Good.
I mean, you used to be, oh, there's Steve Harris in line at the buffet getting Jell-O, and you're like, yeah, it is. I mean, it really is, and it's crazy. But I think for him, this is probably a great thing, because you're in one of the biggest bands in the world, but you could come here, and he's on board with this side band, British Lion, which obviously is a much lesser known thing, but he can come here and like play in a club and go to the pub and just kind of blend in a little bit. And I would imagine that that's kind of refreshing for him. He really seems to enjoy being on the ship and doing that. And
yeah,
that's cool.
Literally
very
like the
humble.
Third year that he's done it. He's a very humble guy. Yeah, well, you guys know him,
yeah.
I'm sure.
And one thing I noticed about these kind of these cruises is that all the people come to these things are very, very respectful of people's space, artist space, and that sort of thing. So the vibe is just very non-threatening to an artist, you know? So it's an amazing thing. So I could see why he would feel comfortable there.
Right.
Yeah.
There's probably a bunch of people who went to bed last night going, we were just down at the pub. We were drinking next to a guy that looked like Steve Harris.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is. Because, again, he's not here with Maiden, so he's just kind of like flying a little, if you can be Steve Harris and fly under the radar, a little bit. Joey, being a bass player, have you met him?
I have not, actually, believe it or not.
Really?
I've never met
Steve.
Gotta
set this up.
It's funny. I saw him at the elevator last night. I was on my way to the, I don't know, somewhere. And I, oh, my God, that's him. That's Steve.
That's the guy.
I haven't actually never met him.
Give us the update on what's going on with Armored Saint. I know tour dates are coming. I know you're out with Queensryche, right?
Yes, we believe we start with Queensryche, as a matter of fact, 3 weeks from tomorrow in lovely Anaheim, California, or kind of a hometown show for us. And then it goes all over the country. It does a couple dates in Canada. It's going to be awesome. You know, the Queensryche guys are incredible, awesome band, phenomenal group. You know, it was a great blending of the two styles. We toured with them back at 16. It was amazing. So we're real honored and happy to be doing it. And should be a lot of fun. And who, like I said to somebody, if you don't come to see Queensryche in Armored Saint, I mean, you can't even call yourself a metalhead, right? Come on.
Take that badge off.
You guys were supposed to do that second run of Wasp dates, and I know Blackie had to blow that out because of his issues with his back and stuff. I don't know where things are at with him with that. I haven't heard from him or talked to him, but did you guys hear anything about that possibly being rescheduled and resuming that, or is he kind of... You don't know.
We don't know. Nothing official. When it first happened, they said there was talk of it moving to spring, which is where we are now. But since then, I haven't heard anything. We haven't heard anything about that. But we do know that he went through a surgery, and he is recovering pretty well. So I think he's on the mend and coming back. But as far as that whole thing happening again, them going back out again, I haven't heard anything about that.
But let us say that it was an awesome tour for us. It was a great tour, and the guys at Wasp treated us incredibly well, specifically Blackie, and we would certainly be open to doing another leg. And I would love to do like Europe and like Australia and Japan with Wasp. I think that would be really incredible, and I've been pushing it to the powers that be, and I don't know what kind of power I have, but I'm trying.
You're John Bush.
Well,
come on.
Well, if you can't make the shows, the guy that filled in for you on the last one, Jason McMaster, on the ship this year with Dangerous Toys.
They just played. They were great.
I just saw him earlier. Yeah.
And also filled in for Accept Tour on the boat.
Wait, Jason filled in for you?
Yeah.
You didn't know that? He did a couple shows, when I got
didn't
sick.
Didn't you used to be Eddie Trunk?
Joey, Steve Harris is standing right behind you. Steve, we were just talking about Steve a minute ago, so we don't want to scare you. Joey Harris.
Beads of sweat. Uh-oh.
But
hi, Steve. Joey. Right.
They've met
nice
now.
What's up, Steve?
Yeah. I just met Steve Harris.
Yes.
There you go. You can say you did now.
So you've got the... anything about new music for Armored Saint?
We do. We've been writing a new record, so we're about halfway through that. And we also recorded a new single, which should be coming out in June, with any luck. And
made a video for it.
We made a video for it as well, so that should also be coming out of June at that time. And yeah, new music's being written. You know, we're working hard at that in between touring and doing cruises and buffets and stuff.
This video is cool. We're all it's
karaoke.
It's
karaoke.
An old soul song. We can't. We're not supposed to disclose it, even though I kind of have. But what's cool is that we're all wearing suits. So we're looking styling. We're really looking styling. We pull it off, and it's pretty fun.
And Joey, you're not doing Merciful Fate anymore, right?
That's correct.
But you are still doing Fate's Warning, or no?
I am, but the band has been on hiatus for a while, and Jim Mateos, the leader of Fates, has been doing several other side projects, so Fates kind of took a back seat for a while.
Okay.
First thing we're trying to do is to go out and do some more shows, because we're all kind of antsy about just going out and playing. So we're going to try to do that, hopefully before the end of the year, but nothing's really, that's not official yet, so we'll see. And new music from Fates, who knows? I think the first things first is to do some shows, get out there again, and then we'll see.
All right. Well, don't mean to rush you off, but Steve Harris is waiting. And I think
we're going
to
keep it
out of here. We know our place,
I think,
Eddie.
I think the Iron Maiden fans are probably chomping at the bit a little bit.
That's
right.
Awesome.
Now. So,
well, thanks for having us.
Of course, yeah.
Thank
it's always good to see you guys.
Always good to see both of you guys.
Yeah, go see Armored Saint on tour with Queensryche coming up. Looking forward to new music. We'll do stuff around that time, of course, as well. And we'll let you guys get back to the buffets. And I know you're running right to the gym, John.
Right to the gym. I'm going to run right. Thanks, guys. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
John Bush, Joey Vera, everybody. Give him some love.
Adios.
Armored Suits.
All right. Come on in, Steve. You're up next.
Making the rounds?
Steve, yeah.
Making the rounds as he
How
does.
How are you, Steve? We're live on the air, so just go ahead and throw those on, man. Thank you. I appreciate it. There you go. Have a seat if you'd like.
Yeah. The mic's on the other side in America.
Yeah. So is the driving.
Yeah.
That's Don. Yes.
Eddie, no, good. Well, he came and did that metal show with us years ago.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you remember our old TV show back in the day, but yeah. Great to see you, man.
Yeah, you too, Mike.
How is... I mean, you've been on a bunch of these. This is like your third cruise, right?
Third time, yeah.
How's it going for you?
Yeah, it was great. Really enjoyed it. Yeah.
You always have a good time on them, right?
I always enjoy it, yeah. Good
and do you still live in the Bahamas?
Yeah, so I'm going home tomorrow.
Oh, good, yeah. Yeah, we docked there.
I was going to say, when we stopped, did you go home and check on the house?
Yeah, I just got home for the day, yeah.
How do you like living there? How long have you lived there?
About 17 years now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You like it, obviously.
I love it, yeah.
Did you first get turned on to it when you worked at Compass Point?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, we was first there in 83, and we did one in 84 and then 86.
Yeah.
And then we did one later on in 2011, and it hadn't changed at all.
For people that don't know, Compass Point Studios in the Bahamas was where you did Peace of Mind, right?
Yeah, Peace of Mind, Power Slave, Somewhere in Time, and then Final Frontier.
Pretty good history right there as far as records being made there. Is that studio still there?
No, it's like a cafe now. It's not a restaurant. The guy that left there, Terry, the engineer, it just sort of fell apart after that.
I know Lenny Kravitz lives in the Bahamas. Do any other art musicians live there?
I think he's on a different island, though, I think, to me. I think so. I've never seen him about, but I think he's on a different island.
Do any other musicians that you know live there that you know of?
No, not like I'm thinking of, no.
It's probably why you like it, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of quiet.
No one knows
away
who I am
it.
There anyway. They don't listen to that sort of music. So.
Yeah, it's a little better than a British winter.
Oh, just a bit, yeah.
Yeah.
You're on board, of course, playing with British Lion. How's that going with that band? You've had this going for a while now, and you're very obviously very committed to it. How's it going?
Yeah, it's been going about 12 years now.
So yeah.
It's great, yeah. We just did a UK tour in January, and... froze our nuts off there. It was so it's nice to be here in the warm.
They're going to be playing tonight in the Studio B? Studio B at 7 o'clock?
No, the theater.
Oh, the theater,
the theater. Okay.
Yeah,
we already played Studio B. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
For you, is it just... I mean, of course, I know Maiden is your baby, and Maiden is an enormous band all over the world, but to be able to downsize from that every once in a while... and go and do British Lion and go into smaller places like a theater or a club or even on a cruise like this and to play in more intimate settings, is that something you enjoy?
I love it, yeah. I'm lucky to get to do both.
Yeah.
And on the tour in January, I played the Carton Horses for the first time since the year dot, really.
Where at?
The Carton Horses, where Rip Maiden started out.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's different now. They got it in the basement, but it was just great to go back there and do it. You know, we played three nights there, and it was kind of mayhem, really. But it was great.
I bet it was. I bet it was. Do you are you able to carve out a schedule that works for both bands? Like, are you of the mindset of whenever there's some Maiden downtime, you're going to do this?
Yeah, I mean, on the last tour in Europe in the summer, there was quite a lot of days off with Maiden, so I just filled in some of them days off with British Lion. And it made sense because like, half the crew that worked for us were Maiden anyway. And so, yeah, we just went out and did some festivals and bits and bobs and clubs and that in between the Maiden stuff. So it means I'm away for one block of time and I ain't got to be away the rest of the year.
How about new music with British Lion? Are you writing stuff? Are you recording?
We've got a couple of new songs. We did a new song the other night, and we've got another new song we're doing tonight. And so, yeah, we've got plenty of material, but we just ain't had time really to, you know, work them up, but record them. So I think, and also Tony Newton, who does recording, he's with KK now, so he ain't, you know, we've got to work around that as well, time-wise, so...
Tony's name has come up a number of times, and I met him the other day. It was funny because as I was getting on this ship, I got an email from one of my heroes, and I know you love him as well, Phil Mogg, and Phil sent me an email, and he said, hey, you're going to be on that ship. You've got to look for a Tony Newton. And I said, okay. And he said, he's playing with KK. He said, but I guess Tony collaborated with him on his, he's made a solo record or something.
Yeah, he's made an album, yeah. And in fact, yeah. He made an album in a studio, very well known to me. And, yeah, so...
Tony's a guy that does... So he works with British Lion as well as an engineer?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's worked on recording the records
as well.
Yeah,
he did both. Yeah, he did... Well, he did the last studio album and some live stuff with us.
And what about Yannick? Is Yannick in British Lion?
No.
Okay, because I thought the last time that you played...
No,
that he had come over.
Yeah, no, I think it's always just been the people that are in British Lion with you, the other guys that are in the band, they're people that you go way back with, right? You have friendship with from way back in England.
Yeah,
what's the history?
Long time ago, yeah, since the 90s, really, yeah. But a couple of them, Graham and Simon, the drummer, they were in the Outfield for a while, but they weren't in the band at the same time. So
the Outfield, the band that had the big. Yeah. Pop rock hit, Lose Your Love and all that?
Yeah, Graham was in the band at that point. He was in one of their videos. I'm forgetting the name of the song now, but it was a big hit, and he was in that video. Simon played a couple of US tours of them later, but they weren't in the band at the same time. But both good, really good players.
Wow, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that connection. Do you do any Maiden songs when you play in British Lion?
No.
It wouldn't make sense, right?
No, not at all. It's a totally different project. It's more rock than metal, but... it's still pretty heavy, some of it, but it's very, very melodic.
Yeah.
Well, I like to think so anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you watch Steve with British Lion, it's like he's playing for 80,000 people at Rock and Rio with Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
So the small crowd, it means nothing.
Yeah, it makes no difference. Yeah. With three men and a dog, I still give the same.
Yeah. And even coming on this cruise, you know, more than, you know, the guy that was just on before you, Joey Vary, he's the bass player from Armored Saint. I don't know if you know who he was.
Yeah.
He played in Fate's Warning. He plays with a lot of bands. And we were sitting here before you came on, and not to embarrass you, but he's just like, oh, my God. He goes, I'm on this cruise, and I never met Steve Harris. And Steve Harris was in the buffet line or whatever. So that's why I made that introduction, because he was like, just was saying how he had never met you. And then I said, well, you met him.
I was actually standing behind him, yeah.
That's what I said, exactly. But do you like that? Do you like when you go on an event like this that you get out to maybe see, not only meet some fans, but there's a lot of artists. Like, obviously, you guys go way back with the Priest Camp. You got KK on here and stuff
like
that.
Well, loads of bands on this boat have actually supported Maiden in the past, loads of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know most of them.
Yeah. And in this case of KK, a band that you once supported before Maiden got big.
That's right, yeah.
So there's a little bit of that as well. But there's even a good amount of metal on this cruise than there's been in the past, with KK and Accept being on here as well, which is actually really, really cool to see. I can't let you go without talking about what's coming for Maiden, because you've got more dates coming. I saw you at Power Trip. It was extraordinary. You've been doing Futures Past as the set list for a while. Is that the plan going forward as you continue?
Yeah, basically we did that tour last summer in Europe. And now we're going to be taking it to North America and Japan, Australia and all that. And, yeah, it's the same tour, the same set. And it's a bit of a challenge set for some people, maybe. But You know, I think it's pretty interesting. So,
you mean in terms of the response from fans who like it or don't like the mix?
I think some people just expect us to play, you know, some of the more usual songs, and we ain't playing them.
Right.
Like, we're not playing Number of Beasts, we're not playing Run to the Hills, we're not playing Hello. So some people probably think, well, I'm not going to bother to go then, but they should, because it's a good show.
But you guys, and look, I know that's always been a lot of debate about that with Maiden fans. The hardcore fans are going to accept anything you throw at them. But obviously some of the more casual fans might go and be shocked that, oh my God, they didn't play Number of the Beast or whatever. But I think the core of your fan base by now pretty much has that figured out and knows that you're steadfast about what you want to do and how you want to do it. And they either go or they don't.
Well, I think the hardcores actually prefer us to play different sets and more challenging things, because a lot of them come and see us multiple times. So for us to be playing a very different set is actually, you know, a plus point for them. That's what I think anyway, and what could be wrong, but that's what I get. That's the general sort of feeling I get.
Yeah, because going into Power Trip, you know, I was doing this show from Power Trip, and I had Nico and Rod on at that time from that event.
What, together?
Together.
Oh, blimey.
Oh, Nick. You know Rod doesn't let Nico out of his sight when he comes around a radio microphone.
Yeah, I know.
He sat right there and got right on him. But we were on it, and I said to Rod and Nick, I said, are you going to alter, you know, you're coming into Power Trip, and this is big festival, and five other bands and all that. Are you going to alter the set? And Rod, oh, we're doing Future Past. And that's what you did. You know, yeah. you stayed true to it.
Well, obviously, it weren't our audience, really. I mean, it was, you know, loads of bands on. And so there was, you know, people there to see all these other bands as well. But they weren't just Maiden fans. So, again, it was a challenge, but we like a challenge. So,
and you've been announced on one of the U.S. rock festivals, too. Is it Aftershock?
Or Aftershock, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be Futures Past as well. The same set list going into that as well. Yeah. Do you prefer doing the festivals versus your own shows? I mean, you've done so many, I know.
Yeah, we've done loads, and it's a mixed thing, really, because sometimes I think the biggest problem with festivals is they keep pushing the audience further and further away, and I don't like that. But other than that, I enjoy all the gigs.
Yeah.
What about an Iron Maiden cruise?
Well, I suppose so. I'd have to persuade the others, probably.
Yeah.
That would be huge.
Talked about it, so I don't know if they'd be up for it or not. But
no one's talked to you guys about that? Because that would be huge, Maiden-branded cruise.
We haven't talked amongst ourselves about it, so maybe I should do. But
yeah.
Because Bruce sent a message saying, don't hit any icebergs, but I don't think there's any chance of that out here.
Not down here.
I know a promoter who might very well be right in our vicinity that would sign up to do a Maiden cruise in 2 seconds. The guy who promoted this, because I think fans would absolutely love that. Play about a month ago with Kevin Shirley, less than actually, because Kevin had just done the Black Country Communion record that's coming out. So they had me come down and do some interviews with them. And I was talking to Kevin, and I said, you know, talk to the Maiden guys. He said, what's going on? He said, well, I'm not sure what they're going to do as far as new music is concerned. Have you thought about a follow-up?
Yes, because we ain't sure either. We don't know, you know, yet. We haven't really planned for a new album yet.
Yeah.
But we've still got a fair bit of touring to do. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Are you always writing, though?
Yeah, I mean, I just get ideas all the time. I'm lucky like that, I suppose. You know, I've got so many ideas. I don't think I could work them all up in rest of my lifetime, but which is a nice problem to have. But yeah, I mean, we'll see.
Where do you keep your ideas? Are they on, like, the voice notes on your phone, or what do you do?
Yeah, I put them on my phone. I obviously used to, back in the day, used to put them on a cassette or whatever and all that. And then now it's just on the phone, but I just have to make sure I back them up and transfer them off, because I know people have had nightmares losing their phone and all that kind of thing. So I do back them up.
Oh, Kirk Hammett famously said he lost thousands of riffs
when
he lost his phone. Yeah.
He had no writing credits on the last album because he lost all his stuff and they had to just fill
it
in.
It's a nightmare, isn't it? It really is.
Yeah, it really is. Sometimes maybe it is better to just do some old school tape or something like that.
That's right, yeah.
You know? But it's a great time for Maiden fans because you guys are still at the top of your game. I mean, I just saw the band at Power Trip. What Bruce is still able to do vocally is insane, especially when you consider what he's been through.
In some ways, I think he's better than ever. If you go back and listen to the Live After Death album, then you listen to some of the live things we've done on, you know, not recently, or even like, say, Stranger in a Strange Land, what we put out live from the last tour, I think he's singing as well as ever.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And then now you're at a point now where you can come out and do this, British Lion. Bruce is about to release a solo record, which I just came out, actually, I think on Friday. Or right around now, but Bruce has got his thing going, and then Adrian's got a thing he does with Richie Kotzen, who's actually on this ship. So that's a good thing, I think, if you would agree that the band is always the priority. But when there's some downside, everybody can kind of recharge their batteries and creatively do some different stuff. You feel good about that?
Yeah, I think it's good for people to do other things because, you know, I mean, it's not boring doing Maiden stuff at all, and none of us think that. But it's just, I think if you go off, just get out, you know, a few other sides of music which are in there which maybe wouldn't be suitable for Maiden. So, yeah, it's good all around, really.
And Nico's got his rib joint.
Exactly.
Nico's got the ribs. Yeah. Have you been there?
Yeah, I've been there a couple of times. I've been there for a while. But
the rockin' ribs.
Yeah, we've been down there a couple of times. He's got his drum kit in there. Time to time we'll jam and whatever and all of that. So, well, listen, I don't want to keep you too long. As far as British Lion music is concerned, these two songs that you have that you've been doing live, they're going to come out at some point?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we like playing the songs live first, so we're probably trying to introduce a few more into the live set and then just go in and record them live. That's what we did with the last album. We played a lot of the songs live for a while before, went straight in, and then because Tony was doing our sound on that particular tour as well before that, and then we just went in and recorded them live, and he just recorded it.
And obviously Maiden dates coming, so keep an eye. Futures Past continues going through, you said, US, Canada.
Yeah, we start off in Australia and in Japan, and then we come to the US, and then we finish up in South America.
Last thing, does it amaze you that this band that you started back in the mid 70s is what they are now in 2024? That globally, like even around this ship, like look, in my first line of sight, I see two Iron Maiden shirts, like boom, right there. I mean, everywhere. I know this thing was your baby. You started it as a kid, and here we are in 2024, and it's as big as ever. Does it blow you away to think about
that? Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I never, you know, take it for granted. But that's another reason why it was great for me to go back to the Carlton Horses where it started off and go back there with British Lion. It was like a historical thing for me to go back there. So, it was an event.
Would you ever like to write a book, your life story?
I'd love to write a book at some point, but it's just a question. Again, it's time, you know, because there's so many other things that I do when I'm not on tour. So to do a book, I couldn't do like Bruce does. He's just does 10 things at once. So it must be.
And he literally wrote his book with pen and paper. I don't know if he told me that.
He was writing it like even in the dressing room before shows. And I went to him, you're one of them annoying people. You should do their own work in the dinner hour at school. And he went and just smiled. And I thought, yeah, I knew it. But I can't do that. I need to sort of set it out and do it really more methodical than that. So I know it would take me quite a bit of time to do. So, but yeah, I would like to do one. I mean, I probably would be able to write a book just about the early days, really.
Yeah, yeah. And I would love to see an officially authorized Maiden documentary. Do you have any interest in doing something like that?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think there could be some bits and pieces we could do like that, yeah.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, we'll get Bruce on that.
Get Bruce to work. He can edit it and film it and take it on the plane and deliver it. Last thing, what is the biggest concert? We talk about you playing on a little theater here on a ship with a million other bands in the British Lion mode. But in the history of your career, obviously it would be with Maiden. What is the most amount of people that you have ever played to?
Rock in Rio. When we headlined it, we had about 250,000 people. But the very first time we played it, when we were special guests to Queen, it was 300, supposedly anyway. I don't know if it's true, but it was supposedly 300,000. So that would be that one. But the headline was 250.
When you're on a stage like that performing, I mean, you don't even there's no words, I would imagine, to even be able to. I mean, I'm assuming you're just playing to the first few rows, right? In terms of playing off of.
Well, I suppose it depends what time you go on. If you go on before it gets dark, you can see it all. And then sometimes if they light it well enough, you can see them anyway. But yeah, I mean, it's just amazing to be able to see people as far as the eye can see. Well, really.
Yeah. Anything else you want to plug or mention?
No,
fans
not really.
Should know about?
No, not really. That's it.
Can't thank you enough for coming by, Steve.
Cheers,
thank
man.
You so much. Always
Cheers.
A pleasure. A guy sitting right in front of me right now is an old friend. I'm a huge fan of his. You guys all know how much Tesla means to be one of my all-time favorite bands, Tesla is, and this guy was a huge, huge part of Tesla for many years and many albums. Guitarist Tommy Scio is in the house. Good to see you, brother.
Good to see you, man. Thanks for having me on, Eddie.
Yeah, man. Always good to see you. And,
very nice.
You know, I was thinking about this. I don't think it was last year's cruise, but the previous cruise where you did, wasn't it when you had the whole deal with Brian, where you reconnected with Brian, right?
That wasn't last year's. It was the years before. It was the year before, the 2022, I believe.
And it was on this radio show, because if you remember, Brian and I
correct.
Were sitting there. You were walking by, and he called you over and put you on the air with us.
And I just had dinner with Brian like 2 weeks ago.
So that whole thing on the cruise a couple years ago, that was really like...
It was
really mending all the bridges.
It really was. I mean, you know, I don't know, you know, there was probably a lot of stuff I thought, a lot of stuff he thought, and a lot of stuff people say and all that. And we went through it. But you know what? I don't know what it was, but it after he even said it himself and myself, it just washed away. And I don't know. We're just,
well, you
we're
guys,
friends. We're cool.
You guys said it. I mean, you kind of worked it out on the air on this show. Because
kinda, yeah.
He said to you, he goes, well, I said a lot of fucked up things about you. And you said, well, yeah, I said some, you know, and you just kind of got through it. But I don't know if I told you the backstory on that. But I was, at that time, you're playing in the band Resistant Bike.
Right.
And Tesla headlines this cruise every other year.
Right.
So that's, they're not on this year. And that, so anyway... And that would make sense, because 2 years ago they wouldn't have been on either.
Is that correct?
So I remember that I was telling Larry, the promoter of the cruise, I'm like, hey, Tommy's got this band. Tesla's not on. You'll get a couple Tesla songs and you get his new band. And they ended up booking you. And the first thing, guy that calls me is Brian. He's like, because Brian was on doing his artwork. And he's like, you better not try to orchestrate any reunion with me and Scio. And I go, dude, relax. It's a big ship. Just relax. And then we get on the ship. And we're on the ship that day, maybe 5 minutes, and my phone rings, and it's Brian. He's like, so I'm checking into my room. Guess who the first guy I see in the hallway is? And I go, who? He goes, fucking Scio. And I go, all right. And he goes, I go, what happened? He goes, I looked at him. I said, you know what? We made a lot of fucking good music together, and I gave him a hug. Is that how it went down?
Pretty much.
Yeah?
Yep, pretty much, man. But it was out on the pool stages where I saw him out there.
And then he came out to see you both times you played.
He did.
Yeah, yeah.
He did. And he's been coming and seeing me and calls me all the time. You know, there's still some stuff there with Tesla that's weird. But, man, I'm aside from all that, it doesn't mean that any of us, we've been through a lot, like Brian says. And I love all those guys, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
There's still some weird stuff there here and there. But it doesn't matter in the end. I mean, you know what? Being in a band is hard, man. Tesla was a great, great band. And you know what? I was glad to be a part of it and to be part of that legacy. Yeah.
It's got to feel good, though, to have that kind of negativity behind you with those guys.
It is. It is. Because yeah. I was wrapped up in my head. And you know, that's how you get when you're not with the people that you have this so-called animosity for. And, you know, the human condition is quite fucked up. I'm guilty of being human for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So you're no longer performing with the band Resistant Bite. So tell me about, and you're now playing in a band called Bad Marriage, which has been on this cruise a number of times. They're real good at what they do.
They are.
Tell me about moving out of Resistant Bite, moving into this.
Okay. So Resistant Bite, I thought I was just going to do, I loved it. I mean, you heard it. You loved it. It was a really good record, and I thought we were going to go on with it. But a couple of the guys, I don't know if it was after the Monster, they just kind of started acting like they were kind of thought they were rock stars and trying to run the show. And, you know, I still haven't seen the statements of bank statements, and I'm not going to name names because we don't need to go there. But there's some real fucked up shit that happened, and I could not be a part of it anymore. I would not. So I left, and that's what went down. But I met Mike from Bad Marriage on this ship when we were here.
Is that Mike? Come
right
over.
There.
Mike, come grab a headset, man.
Nice.
Jump in. Yeah, we'll certainly include you. Go ahead, Mike. Throw that on, man.
He's the Fitzulator. That's Fitz. Oh, Mike Fitz.
Hold on. Let me make sure I got you. Find your level. Hold on a second. Go ahead, Mike. Give me.
You got me?
Yeah, I got you.
Cool, man.
Mike? Eddie?
Yeah,
Eddie,
Mike,
I think you've met.
Yeah, yeah. Good to see you, man. Thanks, lift buddy. That up so it's close to your mouth there, a little close. There you go. Perfect. Yeah.
So we met on the ship, and I'll let him take it kind of from there, what happened.
Yeah, how do you end up, you know, having Tommy join Bad Marriage?
Yeah, it's a crazy story because Bad Marriage had been really tight with Tesla.
Tesla, right? Right.
We did about 50,
you guys opened shows, right?
Like 50 shows over a couple of years.
And wasn't Brian kind of working with you
at
one point?
Yeah, Brian's one Produce of my great friends, and he was the only dude that I hadn't met from the original Tesla lineup. So when Resistant Bite and Bad Marriage were on the Monsters of Rock cruise, I saw him. And I go, you know what, I'm going to go up to this guy and say what's up. You know, we're fellow guitar players. And we just started talking, you know, about guitars, Marshalls, you know, just shit that guitar players talk about. And we just hit it off. We just started trading riffs. I would send him some music, and he would play leads on it. I'm like, dude, this shit's kicking ass.
Badass,
it's kicking ass.
So how many guitar players did you replace somebody or did you just get added in?
So it's three now.
Yeah. So you have three guitar players.
Which
now.
Was kind of, I mean, really, you to their intrigued. Credit, it was a gamble for them. I mean, they were already established, really great band. And to they had some balls, I gotta say, to have me come on that you just can't really, I can't put my finger on or say what it is, but it's there.
Right. Now, have you made a record with the band? Have you recorded with Bad Marriage?
We have
Tommy?
Been recording.
But nothing's come out yet.
One single,
Dangerous. We did a video. Which you played.
Oh, that's you so you're on that.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll end the show with that, Joel.
Cool.
Find that if you can online, Bad Marriage,
awesome.
Dangerous.
Joel, sweet. That's awesome.
But Mike, tell for the audience listening that isn't familiar with your band or the history of your band, give everybody the synopsis of Bad Marriage and the story.
Right. So pre-Tommy... you know, we're all Boston cats, right? So we grew up listening to, obviously, Aerosmith. I mean, that's our favorite fucking band. And, you know, we were a five-piece rock and roll band, loud riffs, you know, just a badass, kick-ass rock and roll band. And then we've been playing for about 8 years before we met Tommy. Like I said, we did one of the cruises without him. Now we're fucking psyched to be on this one. We just got off tour with Glenn Hughes. We did 18 shows with Glenn and Enough's Enough. So this is your second run with us. Before that, we did a Choir Boys tour
with
Enough's.
Enough's Enough. So we know Chip, and Chip is so fun. I remember I was asking you about Chip before I met him. And you're like, oh, Chip. And then I've got to know Chip quite well now.
Right,
and
we're
friends. And
Chip's one of a kind.
He is the best. I'm
he was standing over here the whole friggin' time, and I was going to pull him into this, and then he disappeared.
And you know what? You know Chip. He would have loved
it. Oh, I know. That's what he's waiting there for.
He would have loved it.
He wasn't just there for the nachos.
So funny.
But yeah, so Bad Marriage was a thing for a while, and we're just psyched to have this guy. And me and him just... You know, not only musically, we didn't just add him to Adam because he was Tommy from Tesla. Like, we worked a lot before we figured it out that it was gonna work. You know, like writing tunes together. When we have so many songs that are almost done, like I'm mixing them now.
A lot of things, at least from my perspective, and a lot of things I've done, it's for me. Everything just seems to just be for a reason and meant to be type of thing. I thought that Resistant Bite, but man, I'm telling you, the way things have evolved, it was meant to be, in my view.
So, Mike, for the people listening, as far as the history of Bad Marriage, when did you form and how much music do you have out already?
Okay, we formed in like 2015.
Okay.
We have two full-length records out, which we got to get to you. I mean... We'll mail them or whatever you prefer because we have vinyl too. And
I'm a CD guy.
All right, so CDs. We got you. We'll get you those.
We'll get you those.
And the other weird thing is our newest EP right now, right before he joined the band, was produced by Brian, but it also has Jeff Keith singing on three of the songs. I mean, and he's...
You can't get away from it, Tony.
Yeah. I'm telling you, they became... So now I've got people on Facebook going, oh, he's trying to get back in Tesla. And I want to say for the record, I don't ever want to even do Tesla. I'm just really happy doing other things. So that's not on the table. And we're just, you play the Danger song, but we got another song, and I hope you guys are at the pool stage tomorrow, because we got a song that I wrote, and we're doing it as Bad Marriage, but it's called Rock and Roll Mofo. Real special, and you got to check it out. It's going to fucking knock your dick in the dirt.
Probably our next single we'll put out.
It will knock your dick in the dirt. It's a good one.
It's a solo Tommy song that we kind of rehashed and rearranged a little bit, and it kicks ass. Yeah.
Well, Tommy, you know, from my vantage point, you and I have known each other and been friends for a really long time. Sure. And over the years that you've been out of Tesla, we've stayed in touch. And you've had your ups and downs, and you've tried a lot of different things musically. Yep. Doing your own thing, things under a different name, stuff that had a real, like, more of a punk, edge to it and all of that. So were you just going through all that, trying to figure out, like, what was going to be the best thing for you to land on to get back into this? Because now you're kind of fully back in, aren't you, as far
it feels like that. You know, ever since Resistant Bite, it's felt like that. But you know what? I don't know, Eddie. I was doing, when I did those solo records, I was still doing a lot of smack, and I was a mess, though. I just was. And all the work I was doing, it wasn't until about 3 years before Resistant Bite that I really just said, you know what, I'm done with this.
And done with this as far as the drugs.
As far as drugs, because it was killing me, and I wasn't functioning. It was bad. And even those records I did, I'm not real proud of them. I don't think they're good by any means, and I sang on them. It was just, you know, it was a shit show. So, yeah, not great. But about 3 or 4 years before Resistant Bite, I started kind of coming out of it, and then the thing happened with Resistant Bite, and ever since then, it's just been uphill, and... This thing could not have happened at a better time. I thought, like I said, I thought Resistant Bite was going to be it, but it just wasn't meant to be. And it turns out that something better was, which I can't even believe. Great group of guys and fucking kick ass. And we just, what a work ethic they all have, and great songwriting too. And kind of all in-house, everything done. The merch, and I keep saying there, but I'm part of it. It's our merch. And it's fucking killer, dude. We've just really got a good thing going, and we're going for it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have seen the band. I saw you guys play before Tommy was in it, Monsters on the Mountain.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was at that show, and good to see you out there. And there's great buzz about the band. I mean, everybody, awesome. You know, all the rock fans do talk about the band, at least in this world.
Right,
yeah. You know, because this is where you've worked the most. But that's anything in this world, with everybody on the planet having a band or trying to push out some music, that's the biggest challenge, right? Is trying to stand out of the pack.
Yeah, 100%. And that we try to just, you know, like he said, our artwork and our merch, we just try and hit it all, and make sure we have a great product, you know.
And as you know, it's tough. These days, being in a band, it is tough. And I got to say, I knew before it, when I saw them on this boat, I swear to God, I was thinking, man, I'd love to be in a band like this. And it fucking happened.
Are you playing, I imagine you're playing a couple Tesla songs in Bad Marriage now with Tommy and the band?
We did just start playing one of them. Yeah.
Which one?
Susie, Little Susie.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and it's like a fucking... freight train coming, fucking three guitars on Little Susie. It's pretty badass.
I'll like it now, because I'm just being honest, I've told the band many times it's one of my not what
favorite Tesla songs. Dude, when they told me they wanted to do it, I was like, fuck, I didn't want to do it either. We didn't write it.
And I can say it, it's a cover. You know it's a cover.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. Dude, even Brian, check it out now. It's like a fucking train, man.
Even Brian was like, you guys should do it. 2 days ago, you guys are doing Susie, you guys should be doing Heaven's Trail. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But it's working.
Solution or something.
Oh, I love that.
Well, you know, I've been doing that in other bands, like in Resistant Bite, but I don't know. Come tomorrow and check it out. It's pretty badass for Susie.
Yeah. I talked Tesla into playing Shine Away for Me.
Yeah, there
which
you
is
go.
One of my favorites. And that riff at the end of that. That's Iron Maiden, man. Steve Harris.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's Iron Maiden.
Bust a Nut's
so underrated. And I'm like, you got to do Shine Away. And they're like, I pestered them so much they did it a couple times. It was in the set a couple times. It was so killer.
Yeah, that song's a great one that me and Frank collaborated. I love that.
That riffage in that, man. Great, all that trading off is just so killer, that guitar.
Well, I kind of brought the beginning of that whole eerie beginning.
Yeah.
And then the middle, and then Frank kind of took it from there. Kind of like we wrote that one the same way we did kind of Song and Emotion. Kind of the same... kind of happened the same way anyway. Yeah, interesting and beautiful.
You know, again, I'm not trying to start nothing here, but you mentioned that you're so cool. You're cool with Brian now. You're having dinner, the connection of this band and all that. Would you, Tommy, would you ever consider going to see Tesla now without you in the band?
No.
Just because it'd be too weird for you?
Yeah, I don't have any interest in doing any of that. I don't even want... I mean, I really, enjoy being on this boat, because I don't go out a lot. I just don't. When I'm at home, I just don't go out.
Right.
So seeing all these bands has been just a joy. But to be at home and then they're playing, To me, it's just too weird. I don't know. I played.
Because it's happened. Because I read like Joe Perry used to go see Aerosmith when he wasn't in Aerosmith.
Yeah. I heard that dude to hear in. What it sounds like.
But
or
he would hang with them. Like he actually.
Yeah.
So he did that, and then Mike Portnoy more recently when he was in Dream Theater, he went and saw Dream Theater play at Radio City Music Hall or something. So yeah, it's like it has happened.
I don't have an interest in it, but if Brian was to call me one night.
Get Chip. Chip just showed up. Go ahead.
If Brian was to call me one night and say, hey, we're in town and, you know, and I, who knows? But I right off the top of my head, no, I don't think I would. But hey, bud.
So we were just speaking about
my new best friend right here.
We were just
right
speaking
here.
About
you. Love Tommy so much.
So do I. You know that.
You've had such a great tour. Glenn is just charming beyond belief, playing that whole Burn record in its entirety.
Saw
no
last
tapes.
Night. How ridiculous is Glenn Hughes still?
He's unreal.
He's a freak
unbelievable.
Of
it's unbelievable.
You know, to think he started when you and I were in our diapers, bro. Remember he had a band called Trapeze?
Yes, of course.
Dude.
He toured around the country. You know, he played all those small little places, worked his way up, then got the Deep Purple gig. Got a chance to spend those years with Tommy Bolin, which is fantastic.
I mean, it's crazy to see that guy. Like, I watched him out last night at the pool. And by the way, everybody knows Glenn. Well, I mentioned it before. Glenn is on this ship, but I will have Glenn on this radio show the next cruise I'm doing because that one is the same promoter. It's called On the Blue, and I'm doing two radio shows from it. And in all honesty, on this one, there's like 50 bands that want to try to get on. I'm trying to find time for everybody. That one, it's not nearly as much in the hard rock world, so I'm saving Glenn for that one. So we'll get more into Glenn's stuff with him. He's got a new Black Country
record. And his
record.
Band is fantastic.
Band's amazing. The drummer was ridiculous.
Oh, he's ridiculous.
I don't know who that guy is.
The guy's committed a crime in the past, trust me.
Yeah, he's like, a crazy
he's
man.
One step above a murderer.
It's insane.
Just a brilliant drummer. He shows up every night, brings the tools with him. Those my grandpa likes to call them tools of ignorance, those drums, because they're so awesome. Loud.
He usually does a drum solo. We got to see it on tour, like I said, this past month, but he didn't do it last night because I guess the set was shorter. So if anyone gets a chance to see that dude do his drum solo, unreal deal.
So the tour was you guys, Enough's Enough, and Glenn.
Correct. Yeah.
Is it still out, or are you still doing more, or is it done for now?
No, we're done with
it
this part.
Here, yeah.
It ended on the end of the month, and then we came on the ship together, all three of us.
Just ahead,
Mary's,
3 days
by the way,
before
fans,
this. Yeah.
Terrific band every single night.
These guys, they
no
were
tapes,
me a
no sequencers,
love.
No guys backstage.
Yeah, yeah.
Real band, real live, and it's fantastic. And Tommy, nice, seeing him back in the game again, I love it. They're doing a couple Tesla songs in the set. It's been terrific. But this... It's not the end of all tours. We're going to be back out again. We're talking about perhaps September reconvening and going
don't
over.
Don't push this too close. You're going to just leave it like that.
It'd be nice if we can all go out together and do this one more time this year.
With
In the
Glenn.
Meantime, I'm, yeah, with Glenn.
Glenn.
But right now I'm getting ready to get on a plane. I'm going out with Quiet Riot.
You're playing like the day after the cruise gets back in England or something, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're an animal.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I picked up a little bit of Pablo Escobar. I'm ready to go, okay? Get on the boat and sashay.
Don't do that around Tommy. We're trying to keep him narrow.
I want him in the band.
He's done talking about him
I'm
staying
fine.
Together.
No, he's
I'm
straight
fine.
Now. He's just, he loves
I'm
Cheech
fine.
And Chong, okay?
Yeah, that's it.
I brought him a huge jar, and the tour is real happy with me, too. In those old days with Glenn Hughes, you know, I go back with Glenn 30 years. We used to do all these little boat tours together over in Ireland and Norway, and we would share the stage along with guys like Gilby Clark. It was a really wonderful time hanging out with him. And I remember we smoked a joint together in 2005, and I think that's I'm the last guy to smoke pot with Glenn Hughes.
You want to talk about a guy who's had, I mean, you ever read Glenn's book, you'd be amazed the man is still alive, let alone as healthy and singing as well as he is. I swear to God, these guys that have polluted their bodies, Skio included, they still look and sound great. Look at this guy.
I mean, you were saying that on your show just a few days back.
I hate it. I mean, maybe that's my problem. I never did drugs. I got to start. No, I'm just joking. I would never condone it. I'm just saying. But it's crazy. You look at, you know, look at Joe Perry. Look at look at Tommy. Look at Glenn Hughes. I mean, if you read Glenn's book, you can't believe the man is still alive and he's better than ever.
Yeah, most of the rock stars that had substance abuse problems in the past, they all went to pot. Every one of them. They've all smoked pot now, and they don't drink anymore. They're not doing any blow. and they're staying away from the pilly poos. They just a little bit of a coke here and there is not going to hurt you whatsoever.
You're doing pot, Tommy? Is that on the list? That's okay?
Yep.
So where's your line?
Weed, I've got my medical marijuana card in Florida and everything. Yeah.
Weed's not legal in Florida?
It is legal if you have a card.
No, it's not recreationally.
No.
Wow, I'm surprised.
But a lot of states are.
But when he comes to Mass, to Boston, he loves it because his recreational dispensaries is everywhere.
Oh, you should go to Vegas or Colorado. Forget about it. It's just on every corner. It's crazy what's going on there with the weed thing. So.
I'll do a little bit of beer maybe every now and then, but that's about it.
So, Chip, what else you have coming up as far as U.S. stuff? Any other dates you want to mention?
Yeah, but all through Europe, so just check enoughsenough.com. You'll see all of our dates, all of them, all through the U.K., and then we go over to Switzerland, and I think we do Spain. We do Spain, 5 in Spain, 6 in Italy, Portugal.
Headline shows.
Yep, headlining shows. Enoughsenough does very well because I remember those old videos from MTV where we had a new thing in Fly Michelle and you're my friend Rick Krim would play those videos all the time and give us love.
That's when Chip was all glammy and
glammed up.
And glamtastic, Chip.
He's still glammy.
He still looks great, but
he's
not.
He's still glammy.
Glenn, every single night, honest to God, he says, Chip, I love your band. He goes, the thing I like about the band is the beautiful voices and you have great songs. And that's the one thing that kept enough going. Those songs that Donnie and I wrote, they just resonate with a lot of people. And to still be going 20 albums in, still touring around the country is really a blessing from above. It's a miracle.
Yeah, no, of course, I see you play all the time. And
brand new record, too, Eddie. Got a brand new Enough Stuff record coming out. It'll be out sometime in July of this year. I got a bunch of heavyweights playing. Adler's on his track playing with me.
Okay.
From Guns N' Roses.
All right.
Dax Nielsen from Cheap Tricks on the record as well. And there's some other surprises I won't mention right now, but I promise I'll get you a copy of it. I think it's a rock-solid record. And it just follows the same suit as what we've been doing. I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. Just want to write good songs that we can relate to about everyday experiences that the audience has went through, and perhaps I have as well. That's it.
Are you guys going to try to do more stuff together? A Bad Marriage, Enough Stuff?
Maybe that September thing he was talking about, it's possible.
Yeah, we like the package together. I think it's great. People love seeing Tommy out there, and he brings a little credibility that the band could use in Bad Marriage because we're talking about a rock-solid band that plays their own tunes. You know, the guys in Tesla have endorsed these guys for years. Brian Wheat told me, he goes, take care of these guys. These are my brothers. So it's nice to see the relationship that's developed all through the band. And it's really a rock-solid band. Every night, I got to work my ass off to keep up with these guys. It's a formidable show.
Mike, how did you first come connected to the Tesla-Brian world? How did Brian get involved with you?
There was three shows in New England that Tesla was playing, and we were making a little bit of people knew about us in New England, so they needed a support slot for three shows. It was Portland, Maine, New Hampshire, and Boston. And someone reached out to us and said, hey, you know, do you want to open for Tesla for these three shows? And by the second show, we showed up with our gear, and Brian called us all into his room. It was like, basically, was like, I love the band. He said, I like the way you guys carry yourself. And that resonated with me. And we, like me and him, me and Brian just started becoming boys, you know. And he kind of took me under his wing, you know. So
I want to, before we wrap up, I want to, because we're about to be out of time here, but I want to just tell the audience real quick, because we talked about some of the stuff that Tommy did, when he was not in Tesla. And a record that Tesla fans should absolutely check out that was really, really good is a record that came out under the name Bar 7. And that was you and Jeff, Keith. And that record has got some great songs on it, man.
A lot of people love that record, and I keep hearing it to this day. It's just it blows my mind. It's awesome.
Ladybug,
yep.
Cellophane,
Got a New Life was on. There's a track called Got a New Life on that. I mean, it was made at a time that was really tough to get guys from 80s rock acts over. Yeah. What year was that?
That was 2000. It had to have been 1999. No, they came 2000.
Back. No, you got. Well, you came back in the reunion. You came back in because the the live reunion record was 2000.
Right, but Bar 7 went right up to that. We played right up to that reunion record.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
It might have been 99, but yeah.
But he came out on a small label.
It came out in 98. It would have came out in 98 because we toured a little bit on it. So somewhere around there, 98 probably.
Yeah, because it came out on a small label. Obviously, we know how tough the 90s were on rock acts. But if there's Tesla fans out there that are listening that have never heard that record, I don't know if you can still find it. Do you know if it's out
on eBay sometimes.
It's cool to see all the Tesla fans and Bar 7 fans come out to our shows with Bar 7 stuff. Yeah, like, you know, they're like...
It was only one record, right?
Only one record, but we sold a few of them. They're out there. I mean, they sell them on eBay. I don't think they're in print anymore. I don't think they're still selling them at stores or anything.
You gave me a Bar 7 t-shirt from your closet, which I treasure that thing, man.
Oh, yeah. People know that record. There's great songs on that record.
Thank you.
And,
Thank you.
Was that stuff originally intended to be another Tesla record if you guys stayed together?
Some of the songs would have been if I hadn't left, you know, right?
Right.
And some of them were written for it, so it just depends on the song. Some of them were for Tesla, yeah.
What's your favorite Tesla record?
I keep going back to Psychotic Supper, I guess, just because we were in New York City. It was pretty gritty, and I just like it. It's a real live record. We played live a lot on it.
Yeah. They say that, too, I think.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
Yeah. I think they feel the same way, the rest of the guys, about it. And they also, it's funny because for Mechanical Resonance, the first record, Brian feels like there's too much reverb by that, and wishes he could remix it. And Frank, who was just on with me the other day for his solo single, is like, no, Brian's got to say it's got to be left alone. It's perfect the way it is. It's the way it was supposed to be for
Frank's
its time.
Frank's a dink and Brian's a ding-dong. So what do you know?
Guys, great to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you,
everybody,
Eddie.
Check out Bad Marriage. What's the socials? Where do they go?
Yeah, I mean, badmarriagemusic.com is our official website, and then you can find everything from there, like all, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter.
Yep.
So, yeah, badmarriagemusic.com.
And Tommy, of course, now in that band, so if you're looking for Skio, that's his new home, and check him out. And Chippy over here, you just heard about all the stuff they go. Anything you want to plug, Chippy?
No, I'm excited about what the future has to offer to all of us. I wish everyone out there that's listening a beautiful 2024, safe, healthy, and I'm sure I'll see people. A little shout out to Larry Moran. Let's not forget about
Larry. Yeah, we had him on. Yeah, he was the first guest on the show today.
Yeah, thank goodness, because I did a ship announcement. I got reamed like you wouldn't believe for talking about trim and extracurricular activities and cocaine. But we made up and we're okay right now. I picked up my $20,000 and I'm ready to go.
Look at Eddie. Oh, my God.
Chip makes so ship funny. Announcements. We all do them from time to time. That go through the whole ship, and they are total gold. Hey, real quick, with the time, you want to hear the greatest ship announcement story I ever heard in my life? And maybe my audience knows this or has heard about this. So my friend, the comedian Craig Gass, you guys know who Craig is?
Of course.
So Craig does these great impressions and whatever. And he was a host on the Kiss Cruise, and he went on the PA to the whole ship, and he did a ship announcement and said, "We have a problem. The ship has hit an iceberg." Now, mind you, this is like August in the middle of the Bahamas, an iceberg, right? And he goes, but he did this as Gene Simmons, because he does amazing Gene Simmons voice. And he said, "But I've got good news for you. For $2.99, we can get you a life raft branded with the kid." And for $4.99, you can get a motorboat that will rescue you from the ship. And people were literally going up to like the cruise line and saying, "Wait a minute, you guys charge us to get on, and now you're going to charge us to get off so we don't die? What's happening?" God. Like, they bought it. So that's the benchmark, Chip, for your announcements. You got to come up with something that good. That's unbeatable. That is just you got to hear Craig. I don't do it justice. You got to hear Craig tell the story. It's so good. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Chip's enough. Tommy Skio, Mike. What's your last
name? Mike Fitz
from Bad Marriage. Thank you, Mike. Well, so much fun to be on that ship. Had a blast, as usual, hosting the Monsters of Rock cruise. Next week, day 3, I broadcast from the ship 3 days. Day 3, final day, will be next week's podcast. But hope you enjoyed all those guests. I thank them all for dropping by. It was great to visit with each and every one of them. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Be sure to subscribe and be sure to go to SiriusXM.com/TrunkNation for info and updates on the radio show and how you can hear the full picture and join me live each and every day, Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 Eastern, noon to 2 Pacific, for rock talk, news, and interviews. Faction Talk Channel 103 on Trunk Nation, or listen anytime on the SiriusXM app. Again, follow on social media at Eddie Trunk. Hope to catch you on the radio. If not, I will catch you back here next Thursday for another episode of the podcast. Have a good week.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.